Hashem's infinite kindness, we're learning Masechet Sanhedrin. We're in Daf Kaf Bet Amud Aleph 22a, learning about the laws of kings. Currently, we're learning about the laws of this Mishnah that we just started yesterday, the new Mishnah. We're learning how you respect a king. You respect a king by not using his staff, not sitting on his throne, not using his scepter, not using his lady friend. Right. Different ways of respecting the king. So we're learning about David and Avishag. Avishag was the young lady who was brought in to fulfill a certain task in his later years, which was to keep it warm, at night.
Female radiator.
A what?
Female radiator.
Female radiator, right? They didn't have
the air fires.
No, the blankets. Heat, what are they called?
Electric blankets.
Electric blankets. They didn't have electric blankets. Obviously, the hot water bottle hadn't been invented or it wasn't effective. So.
No, but they did have pans of coals.
Have what?
You have a pan.
Oh, a pan of coals.
Would you
right,
put,
you put
it
in the
bed.
Alright, to keep it warm. Okay, but anyway, so this was that was what was decided. So, we saw that we learned from this. It's not simply a story. We learn halakha from a lot of these stories. So we're learning a halakha from this story. One of the halakhot we're learning from this story is that you cannot use anything belonging to the king. Anything here that's something that is similar to the scepter of the king, right? The Mishnah said you're not allowed to use the scepter of the king. And the Gemara said that the Avishag was like a scepter of the king and only another king could make use of her. So she could have married Shlomo. It's not clear whether or not she did or not. It doesn't say that she did, but she could have married Shlomo. She was permitted to Shlomo, but she wasn't permitted to Adonijah, one of his other sons, who actually wanted to marry her. And it was refused and killed as a result. He was killed as a result of asking to marry King David's servant, let's call it that.
Okay, Shlomo was king.
Shlomo was king at the time.
The time was king.
Right.
He asked him to give her the
He said no.
Okay, understand.
He's trying to
the king.
Right. It was, yeah, it's like saying, can I borrow the king's crown? Like, no you can't, then I'm going to kill you now. For trying to take the leadership, the take over from the king. Okay, so now we've got the next part of the Gemara as follows. Amra, we are in the middle of the page, about six lines down from the beginning of the Gemara. Amra, she said, who's the she? So Avishag. Avishag is now talking to David. Right? And we learned previously that David was not intimate with Avishag. Although she was his hot water bottle at night, that's all she was. There was nothing else going on. So Amra, she said to him, Nin Saban, right, which is Aramaic for Nitzchaten. Let's get married. Amala, he said, Asiratli, you're forbidden to me. Why is she forbidden? She's only forbidden because you already had 18 wives. So he said, sorry, can't do it. I'm up to number 18. No more room left in the closet. Can't take another one on today. So he said, no. Amra Le.
Didn't we skip something?
Nope.
What was the guy's relationship?
Where? We didn't get to that bit?
No.
Ah, sorry, let's go back. So, very good.
So the last part was she was forbidden to
Adonia.
Adonia.
Because he was a commoner. He wasn't a king. Oh, sorry. So then Avishag Maiki. So the Gemara wants to know Avishag Maiki. Was she his wife or what was the relationship? Avishag Maiki. Dechtiv. It's written. V'amelech David Zaken v'abiyamin. Right? The pasukim that talk about this in Shmuel say that King David became old in his years. V'yomer lo avadav, and his servant said to him, Yivakshu, let us look for a woman to keep you warm. Ukitiv by Yivakshu na'arayafa. Don't know. I mean, we don't really understand a lot of stuff that's going on.
It's like a test for
you. It was also a test. Right? Because he was, the Gemara is now going to say that she was Na'ara Yafa. She was the most beautiful woman they did. It wasn't just a random.
And she tried everything.
And she wanted to marry him, actually, from here, but she wanted to. Right? So we learned previously, in the not so many pages ago, about Boaz and Palti Ben Laish. Right? This is maybe even more. Right? So, and we're going to see from the next book that David was quite capable of being with her. He just chose not. He just held back. So it was also part of his test, and also. It also kind of, if you like, I think you could say, vindicated him, maybe justified him, that what happened with Bathsheba wasn't what it looked like. He was clearly able to control himself. And he didn't need to be with Bathsheba just because he happened to see her on the roof having a bath. This clearly proved the fact that he was able to keep hold of the Yig Zahara, and he wasn't interested in this stuff. Good morning, sir. He could have. So why didn't he? So, look, you could have. It depends how.
It makes like you have always.
We don't know exactly what's going on, but in terms of what we do know, or our level of knowledge, we can still learn it on our level, which might not be completely wrong, right? Because it's all on much deeper, higher levels. But on our level, you could say, I don't know if it's true, but you could say that if you've got a young woman there who's very pretty, so that causes you to get very excited and you heat your blood up, right? So, but his old wife, it's not as much. But even though it heated him up, it kept him warm. He still stopped himself. I mean, it wasn't like she was lying there. And he, according to this explanation, and he was completely cold. He didn't feel nothing, just like a piece of wood lying next to me. No, because the whole purpose was that she was meant to get him warmed up, right? If you want to say it that way. And by lying next to him, that kept him warm. Right, blood was moving around, and he was excited. He still kept away from her.
Keeping you young. Let's say when you're a young, you're old person, you always been young people. You keep you young.
I found that so
funny. No, he's right there. Excellent. What? All young men. Ask for
cooler. That's all right. You're allowed a hot water bottle. Just can't do anything.
Does Rashi see anything?
Not on this part, isn't it? It's written that the Yivakshu Na'ara Yafa, they found for him a beautiful woman. Ukativ, and it's also written Anaya Yafa Ad Ma'od, and she was very beautiful. Not just she was like Mamash, right? Achashvei Rosh. Finding the most beautiful woman, right? It have right? Utihila Melech Sochenet V'Tishar Tehu. And she was to the king. Sochenet here is warmth. V'Tishar Tehu. And she served him. Huh? Sochenet here apparently means warmth. Yeah, as opposed to danger. Sakana.
I've never found a Jewish girl in Shaman that's not beautiful. I don't understand. Every Jewish girl in Shaman is beautiful.
It's an agency. It's an agency. Right. Well, what's the root? Sakana? I mean, what's the root here? I know. What's Sochenet?
So, what's the agency? You said there was an
agency. Yeah, the JIA. JIA? Is it called the Sochnut? Sochen. You know what the word Sochen means, Menachem?
No, I guess it comes from Sakana.
Sakana.
They took about an ethics from the old servant.
Yeah. She was Sochen, a spy. Okay. Tov. Anyway, so that's what she was. So we learn from here that she served him, meaning she was a servant. She didn't marry him, and she wasn't a plageshet. She wasn't a wife. She wasn't with him. She was there to fulfill a function of keeping him warm. So, I might have lived a lot longer. Amra, she said to him, Ninsa Ben, let us marry. She wanted to get married to him. He's a king, he's wonderful, he's an amazing man. How can you find a man like this, that she's the most beautiful woman, and he's like keeping to himself? She's like, psh, this is a guy. This is the guy I want to wear. I want to write it. Apart from the fact that David, right? So she says to him, Rabbi Hanan, I've got you a personal own copy as well. So she wants to marry him. So he says to her, Amarla, he says that Asiran Lay, you're forbidden to me. Why? Because I've already got 18. Got 18 wives, I can't take on another one. Very sorry, the insurance doesn't allow it. Maximum of 18. Right. So what does she say? Amrale, so she says back to him. Right? She says back to him a riddle. A little, it's not a completely difficult riddle, but a riddle. Kasre leganava nafshe leshlama nakit. When there is lacking to a thief, people to steal from, leshlama nakit, he holds himself out as perfect, as complete. What's he saying? When a thief has no one to steal from, he holds himself out as a righteous man. What's he mean? So let's just understand the mashal before we apply it to David.
The whole thing initially,
yes.
18
wives. Yes.
Why
that's exactly what Rabbi Reuben said. So right. So and also, it was the same question. So we didn't have an answer. But it might have been, I'm suggesting that maybe that a new fresh young woman would warm the blood more than one of his wives that he's like, he's known and he's been with. Huh?
Maybe his wives, maybe one of them was young as well.
We don't know. It's tough, we don't know. But he's done it in his older years, and presumably he married them. We can assume that he married them early on.
No, nothing.
Right?
He was more testified from Hashem.
Right, it's also it's also a much more of a test to this is a big test for him. Right? We're getting tested all the time. And so Hashem needs to give him a big test. So what's he gonna do? Gonna find the most beautiful woman we can find, and then we're gonna stick her next to you in bed to keep you warm, and you're gonna keep your hands to yourself.
Crazy, you know? I mean, a person can't touch something that's not his.
She was offered to him.
I don't really care. I mean, are you allowed to touch somebody else's property?
No, but it was his property.
But do you understand what I'm talking about? Did you touch another woman?
Obviously not. So what's his relevant picture?
So what? Because he was in a room, in a bed, with another woman?
She was
a
penuyah. She was free and available to him.
I understand, but still, if a woman is not married, can you touch a woman that's not your wife?
If you're intending to marry her, yes. You can marry someone through bia.
Obviously, but here it says that he had no intentions of doing that.
Nachon, so you're right. So later on, we're going to see in the sugya, because Menachem, your neshama is speaking to us again. Your neshama is speaking wonderful words of Torah, and it's telling us something that the Gemara is going to tell us later on. Okay. And actually, you're 100% right. He is breaking the rabbinic law of Yichud here. He's not allowed to be alone with a woman who's not his wife. I never mind him, but whatever, he's breaking Yichud. She's a married woman. But a free woman, so a free woman is not allowed rabbinically to be, right? That's Yichud. So the Gemara is going to say that the rabbis allowed him to break the rabbinic yichud, and not instead of allowing him to divorce. We're going to see that he could have divorced one. We're going to come on to that in a minute. Why didn't he? He had 18. He could have divorced one. So rather than allowing him to divorce, we're going to see because the Gemara is going to go on to talk about how problematic divorce is. Why the rabbis said it's better not to divorce, better to break yichud and not divorce, not get divorced. Break the law, the rabbinic law of yichud, and not get divorced.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so many words.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it says that in there.
It said more or less. We read it yesterday.
Sorry,
probably
more interesting.
We're getting there. Right. So the first explanation is just to talk about the thief itself. So what's the analogy with the thief? A thief. She says to him, "Let's get married," and he says, "No, sorry, can't. I'm full up. I'm full to 18. Sorry, I'd really like to, but sorry, just can't. Sorry, love to, but can't." She says to him, "Oh yeah, right. You're just like putting me on." And what does she say? She gives it this analogy. She says, "You're just like a thief who's got no more victims to steal from, and so he pretends he's not a thief anymore." What does she mean? So Rashi explains that what she's saying is, a person who, she's accusing him of being too old. "You're past it, and you can't be physical with me, and so you're giving me an excuse for why you can't be with me. You're saying you've got too many, but really you're not up to the job, right? You just can't do it anymore." So, I'm going to use this as it's not a good analogy, but it is a good analogy. So King David didn't take that standing up.
He took a sword out. Boom.
So what did he do? Amralahu, he said to his attendants, "Kuruli Labatsheva, bring me Batsheva, call for me Batsheva, my wife." So Kativ, and it's written in the Pasuk, "Tavo Batsheva El HaMelech." Batsheva came to the king. Hachadra, to his room.
Okay. Do you know how old Batsheva was when Shlomo became king? No, when he became king.
Seven. She was always seven, apparently.
When he became king, because he had young wives. Batsheva was 21 when Shlomo HaMelech became Melech. And she was 8 years old when she had Shlomo HaMelech.
It depends how you understand the all those things. The discussions in the Gemara about what it means.
Because
she was already married to
before then. My brain tells me.
We're keeping currently a list, right, of questions which we're going to ask to Eliyahu Navi. That one's on the list.
Okay.
And Bezrat Hashem, he's going to answer all of
this. And hopefully he'll be here today.
Who?
King David.
No.
Of course.
Only 18 times.
No, before. He had no woman.
Are we out?
No. So Yisok Yulion, we take Yisok Hasheva, we try everything. Now was a test. Now Hashem tests him, how strong is everything.
How many do we say? You had 1,000, or that's Sarah Shlomo?
I had a thousand.
Right? We have enough problems, never mind. So what happened? So he called Bathsheba, and Bathsheba came to him. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ba'oto Sha'a, at that time, Kincha Bathsheba Shlosh Esrei Makot. At that time, Bathsheba cleaned herself with 13 wipes. According to Rashi, it means that David was with her 13 times, proving the fact that he wasn't past it, and that he was more than able. And the reason why he did not marry her and he wasn't with her was because he was strong. He kept his Yetzirah. He overcame his Yetzirah. Not well for you and me.
No, why does the mother have to prove, hey, I'm a great guy? Look,
it's a great question. The king and all of the Gedolim, it wasn't just the king. King David was right? All of the Gedolim, everything they did was for the sake of Am Yisrael. So that we can learn, so that we can learn from them.
It's shtushim for you and me.
If you and me did that, it would be shtushim, it would be magil, it would be disgusting. He was showing the strength of his Yetzirah and the strength. It's not, we see from the Gedolim that they occasionally show us their greatness in order to show us the greatness of man. If we didn't know this, if we didn't know how strong David was, and how, I don't know how you say that in English, how virile he really was. So you don't realize the greatness of his test. Now we see how virile he really was. He was a man of that strength. And yet, he overcame that test. If I just say he was an old man, and he was an old man, he was 60 years, 65, getting nearly 70. Tom, and he was with this hot water bottle and he didn't sleep with it. You'll be okay, fine, it's not a big deal. But if I see how mamash he really was, and she was the most beautiful woman in the land.
Really?
Yeah, says she was Admaoz. Yeah, Fet Admaoz. Whatever it was. Whatever it was. And it shows us a whole different level of how strong King David was.
Why did they bring him the most beautiful woman in the land? Why couldn't they bring her and a woman?
Because it's in order to, for starters, the king, it's a kavod that he should have the most beautiful woman in the land. Secondly, they were trying to keep him warm, right? And the fact that she...
It's not to be beautiful to keep a person warm.
It could well be that the Yetzirah is what keeps a person warm. Could be. Okay. I'm not saying it is, but it could be an exact... Could be a reason.
It's obviously so, like, for us to see, like, examples. So, when we have some tests, and we go later, after 120 to heaven, they ask us, why you not pass the test? Yeah, but I said, it was so beautiful and so because I look, can take it. This. Like, you can say there was an example. He passed all the tests, so means we can do it too.
Nahon. And for us to learn what's possible. Because we look at King David, if King David can do that, right, when he's really fired up, and he's next to this beautiful woman who wants to marry him and is ready to be with him, and he still says no, then me, who is sitting on the bus, can avoid looking at the woman with not many clothes on sitting next to me, right? then, you know, I can like put it in context here that this is not such a huge test, right? It's, it feels quite difficult for me right now, but I've got who to rely on.
The only life was King David. He was the first person to make Shabbat.
Right.
So, you know, always he was in tests. Always.
Uh-huh.
I think there's no person in the world have so much difficulty to him in the family.
Right.
So it means this in our life always too. Yeah? So his family is this problem, you can say that too, King David had this too. So you can never complain, he passed all the tests.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I find it says why say
that he opened the path.
He did it for everyone. The reason why anyone can open to Tehillim and find themselves in, because King David went through the full everything.
So and there's a way to go out, and there's a way. We have to make a new way. Like Rabbi said, they make the way. You have to go take this way. But
to learn from, just to learn from
our,
because we have. All of that is within us. All of the Kabbalah, we have a bit of King David within us. Right? We're all part of the same neshama. We're a little different bit on the foot, the leg, the sole, the toe, the little finger, whatever. But we're all, right? So we can find that bit of King David within me. Why not? It's true.
It's always cold. He will always come in the winter. He put the heater so hot. In the summer, he has to come. Like, when we were always making tea with him. He took his life something with cold. But he had not
suffered
his old age with cold.
But people are different. Some people are hot, different cold. I normally feel the cold. When I used to daven mincha, daven mariv, like a night in the winter, they're outside in the shvil in Nirud, they have a minyan. So I come with my coat on, my scarf, and my hat, daven mariv. And then these guys will come in, like t-shirt and shorts. Everyone has their own different nature. So I ensure you always get someone who wants to open the window, someone wants to close it. The 13, look, 13, whenever 13 comes along, it's always the same 13. All 13s are related. All 3s are related, or this is 13 too. That's 13 words in it. So they're all connected, for sure. All 13s. Every time you get the same, all 7s, all 8s, all 9s, like Rav Elgrud said. Like they all have the same minion. So it comes to you. It didn't have to be Dafka 13, but it was 13 in this case. Okay. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Rav Shemen Bar Abba said, we mentioned this before, but we'll bring it now. Bora A, come and see. Kama kashim gerushim, how difficult, how harsh is divorce? Sharei David Amelech hitiru lo liyached, because in the case of David Amelech, they permitted for him liyached to be in yichud. V'lo hitiru lo legeresh, but they didn't permit him to divorce. He wasn't permitted to divorce.
Who's
the sages. The rabbis, meaning it was rabbinically forbidden, so he would need a rabbinic heter in order to allow it. So they allowed him that, right? Because rabbinically, even in those days, right, you have drabanan and deraita. Drabanan, you need to get it's the rabbis who uphold the law and are allowed to waive it, right? Or the representative, your local rabbi, whoever the Rabbi is, that allows him, that gives you a heter. He gives you a heter from rabbinic law only because he's a representative of Rabbanan. Rabbanan forbade it and Rabbanan can permit it.
So let's King David say, okay, I divorce him.
Yeah.
So all the other kings after him, It's okay. He did it too. We saw an example. The divorce.
You're right, but that's not the reason. That's not the reason why the letter. He brings here now the reason. The Gemara goes on to say why divorce was not considered.
This is really strong.
Yeah.
Does Rashi see anything?
Hold on a second. Yeah.
You said before is that David became warm because of her beauty.
Apparently, otherwise they would have got rid of her. They would have tried to. They tried it in order to get him warm, and we see that she served the king. So presumably it worked, because otherwise it would have been a one-day job. I don't. That's what I'm saying, because I don't know any other way of explaining it.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's true.
The challenge that she gave was very, very seducive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we learned too about the perception of sleeping with your wife in cases where it's a good spot.
Okay.
If your wife wants it.
Yeah.
Or you have to.
Okay.
So it could be that he tried to show that how much he was excited by her and was able to keep himself away from her. But this challenge really, he had to call his wife to whatever.
I hear. Oh, let me say something. The Rebbe says
it's not the context of how it's explained, but you could see that way too.
The Rebbe.
Yeah.
Said,
the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Our Rebbe.
Oh, our Rebbe. Okay. Webby, I don't know which Rebbe.
Nachman.
But that one. Okay.
Yeah. No titles. No women. Nachman. No anything.
He broke all his titles. Yes. Don't you think that David and Melech had the same source to break all the titles?
Nachman.
So he didn't have any titles for women.
Right.
That's what I think. I wasn't there then. But this thing about him having titles for women, wanting women.
Nachman.
I don't believe it.
He doesn't. And the Gemara says that it says in Tehillim what's the passage in Tehillim? Libi chalau b'levi halev chalau b'libi, something like that. My heart is like a chalau, meaning that there was no tithers in there. It was empty. He says about himself that he had no right. So that's why the Gemara says anyone thinks that he sinned with Bathsheba, he's wrong. They're wrong. He didn't. There's nothing, no such thing, is that interesting?
Obviously.
Depends, but
we're talking about the guy went over and called Bathsheba 13 times. What? The whole thing doesn't make sense in my brain.
That's good, that's good. There's a lot of things that don't.
You'll
be there. After 180, and or when Eliyahu now becomes, then you can find all the answers to these.
13 is the number. Don't know what's the.
It's meaningful. Right, yeah, doesn't it have to? That could be 30. It could have been, but it doesn't. But sometimes it's just to teach you something about that number.
One thing I do know, everything that says in here, you know that's in a public way.
Yes.
There is a reason for everything being here.
Yeah.
We don't know everything.
I
don't know nothing.
Even the Amorites didn't know everything. Even the great Tanayim didn't know everything, which is why they said Kasha. Occasionally they got to a point where they said Kasha, we don't know either. And they were Tanayim. So, you know, Kal Bachomer, that we should know stuff is very, it's fine. It's absolutely fine that we don't know. And if we think we do know, then we really have a problem.
I'm one of them that doesn't know
my name. So you're doing very well. Tov, Amar Rabbi Eleza.
Anything on Rashi?
Let's just check. No, nothing that we haven't already said.
Okay.
No. Okay. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So now we started talking about the problem of getting divorced. So the rabbis didn't let him get divorced. So the Gemara now takes a tangent to explain why the harshness of getting a divorce. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol hamagaresh et ishto rishona, anyone who divorces his first wife, afilu mizbeach morid alav dama'ot, even the altar sheds for him tears. Very difficult for a person to divorce their first wife. Shinema learned that out from a passage in Malachi, which says, "Rezot sheimit ta'asu kasot dima et mitzvah Hashem v'chi v'anaka. And this further do you do? You cover the altar of Hashem with tears, with weeping, and with sighing. Me'ein od penot al hamincha lekachat l'tzon mi'etchem. To the extent that Hashem will not regard your offerings anymore, or receive it with favor from your hand. Why? Why is the altar crying and weeping and not accepting any more offerings? Because it's written, V'amaltem alma, and it's written, why was this? Alki Hashem he'id b'encha u'b'en eshet norecha. Because Hashem bears witness between you and the wife of your youth, Asher ta bagadata ba, who you dealt with treacherously, meaning you divorced her. V'hi chavertacha v'eshet britecha. Because she is your chaver, she's your friend, and the wife of your covenant. Tov. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Eimata Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan said, and some say it was Rabbi Elazar, Einish Toshel Adam Meita, the wife of a man doesn't die, Ela in Ken Mavakshin Mimenu Mamon, except if he is asked for money, the Einlo, and he doesn't have. It's a puzzling statement. Not so clear what it means, whether to take it literally, whether to understand it literally. It's talking about other things. But the basic is, let's learn the pshat. Pshat is that the wife doesn't die until they ask the husband for money and he doesn't have what to give. So here in the footnote, it says that it's money that he had stolen from other people. And he doesn't have that money available to pay it back. There's no Rashi on this, so it's the footnote is based on something else. It's in the text itself at the bottom. Okay, so apparently that's what it means. The person's wife dies. The husband steals money, and then someone comes to ask him for the money back. He doesn't have it. I don't know what it means. Shneema, like it says in the pasuk, im ein lacha l'shalem. If you don't have what to pay, lama yikach mashkevecha mitachtecha. Why do you take your bed from under you? Why? Meaning, why will your bed be taken from under you? Meaning it will be taken from under you. Meaning it will be taken away from you. Your bed, meaning your wife, will be taken away from you if you don't have money. It's a drosh from that passage. If you don't have money to pay, then your bed will be taken away from you. Meaning if you don't have to pay, why should you let your bed be taken away? Kilu, the mashal is that the creditor is going to come and take your bed. Right? But the bigger mashal is that the king is going to come away and take your wife, who is your bed. So this is another one to add to the list. We have this huge list of... Look, apparently I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that eternity is a very long time. So we're going to need what to do. So it's good to have stuff to fill up the time. Look, but you still have something to do, right? My kids on Shabbos get bored after a few hours of not doing anything. So eternity, it's good to have what to discuss. So it's really good that we have more and more stuff, and we have everything. Yeah, I dealt with that when I was down there. I know the answer to that. Right? So I'm bored. I'll be bored. So I've got what to talk about. Yes. Upstairs. We're all going up. We're running straight to Rabbeinu. Nachon?
No.
Running straight to Rabbeinu. He knows you very well.
I've seen Rabbeinu.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, so if you can find out and come and enlighten us, we'll be a bit more yes, we'll be a problem.
We shall now, the big thing is about the first wife.
Yeah, we're going to see later on also, it talks about the first wife. The first wife has a different status. Divorcing a second or subsequent wife is not such a big issue. Right, we know the first wife was the main one that was set up for you. And therefore, we learn from the Baal Shem Tov. Not from the Baal Shem Tov, from Rabbi Nachman. No, yeah. From the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said that if his first wife Hannah had lived, he would have risen to heaven in a flaming chariot in the middle of the market in Mezibush. Right? Baal Shem Tov. Wow. Right? We know that Eliyahu HaNavi, at the end of his days, he went up to heaven in a flaming chariot, but he did that out in the Midbar, and only Elisha saw him. Right, so the Baal Shem Tov said, "That's nothing. I could have done that in the middle of the marketplace of Mezibush, right? If my first wife had been alive." Baal Shem Tov said that.
Baal Shem Tov was twice.
Was what?
Baal Shem Tov.
Married twice. Yes. Yeah. His first wife.
It's a mitzvah to remarry your grusha. Uh-huh. Does that mean only the first one or the other ones?
Also, the other ones. As far as I know, I'm not 100% bocky on the law, but apocryphal means that it's a story that's not really true. Apocryphal story about a big rav who wanted to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah that were available to fulfill. So he says to his wife, "I'm going to divorce you," right, in order that he could remarry her. So he divorced her.
Just to remarry her,
and she said no.
What did she say?
She said no.
She said no.
It's apocryphal. I don't think it's true. She said, "Right, you're going to divorce me just so you can fulfill a mitzvah? Oh, I'm not interested in marrying you again. Just forget it." Yeah. So the mizbeach cries. Yeah.
Why did the Mizbeach cry?
Why does it cry? It's a good question. Why the Mizbeach specifically? Why not anything else? You know, you could say Hashem cries, the angels cry. Why Davka the Mizbeach?
I think that's what you're trying to say. That the offerings that we give to Hashem, we're married to Hashem.
Our connection.
Our connection to Hashem is allowed
right.
through offerings.
No.
And so it says that once you divorce, there are no more korbanot.
Right, you break that check, you break that link. Very nice. Yeah. Right. Because the korban means to come close. Right. Right. So that's broken. Yeah. That's broken.
He was against Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman.
Yeah.
Rabbi Nachman, right? After his wife died, he never remarried. So he comes over again. So when he was married again, he never comes over. He was against it.
Okay. So then, let's do a little bit more. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kol adam shemeta ishto rishana. Anyone whose first wife dies, ke'ilu harav beit hamikdash b'yamav." Says if the beit hamikdash was destroyed in his day. For a husband to lose his first wife is like beit hamikdash destroyed, which is like it goes with what we're saying, that the connection. What does it mean that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? It means that we lost our connection with Hashem. So a person loses that connection. Like the Beit HaMikdash.
That means when a woman is never good, but that doesn't mean when you get divorced from your first wife, not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. So like the same thing.
Same thing.
Like here, we said the Mizbeach weeps. So you can't have any more offerings.
Wow. It's like Shalom Bayit.
Yeah.
When you have Shalom Bayit, Hashem is never good.
Ah, yeah, fair.
So
it's Shechina.
It's like the
Beit HaMikdash. Yeah.
So when you wipe out, you have no woman. Because who is the woman? It's the one. Right.
Everyone has come to their own level.
Uh-huh.
When you get to that level, you're tough.
Why is when you close into Hashem?
Yeah, everyone's going to be tested.
So
right?
If
you're at the level of Rav Shalom and the wife and his wife and the Rebbitzin comes in and she's just in a little, she's in a bit of a bad mood, like, so it's like, yeah, that's a big test. That's not a test for Rav Shalom. His wife comes in, she's not happy today. So for you and me, your wife comes home, she's not happy today. That's a test, right? So but that's because we're on the low level, right? But that's not a test for Rav Shalom. So he has to have a test that's meaningful for him, right? No point having a test that, are you a bit down today? Yeah, a bit down. Okay, right, that's a test. I'm not a test for someone on the level.
That's normal for me. What are you talking about?
Nah, but you're
meeting. Everybody has to work and shut them out constantly.
You know what level you're holding. You know what level you're holding, but by how your wife's treating you.
Uh-huh.
Right? And she's like really shouting at you. It means that you're holding at that level. They can.
Was it 10 or 10 or 5?
Well,
usually 10. 10. 10. What time do we start? Do we finish this? 10.
No, now what time do we finish? What time do we start? 10 or 10 or 5?
Whatever 10, time 15. You want. I don't know that we have
a right now. Fixed minute. I'm letting you. I have no problem.
Okay, so what are we saying? We're saying Kol Adam Shemeta Ish Tori Shana, that anyone whose first wife dies, Ki'ilu Harav Beit HaMikdash B'yamav, it's as if the temple was destroyed in his lifetime. Shneimar, like it says in the passage in Ezekiel. Ben Adam Hineni Lokeach Mimcha Et Machmad Einecha B'Magefa. Son of man, behold, I will take from you the desire of your eyes, meaning his wife, right? But magefa, in a plague. V'lo tisfod, v'lo tivcheh, v'lo tavada d'ma'atchecha. Right? And Hashem tells him, it's very hard, it's very I mean, Ezekiel, right, we're talking huge people, so they had very hard tests. Right, again, just like we're saying, if Rav Shalom has a test, where his wife shouts at him, Ezekiel has a test, so Hashem takes his wife away from him, right? So that was his test. And what did he have to do? When this happens, you're not allowed to lament. You're not allowed to cry. You're not, and your tears, not let your tears run down. Right? It's going to happen. And you've got to be quiet. Be like Aaron HaKohen. Right? Restock. You don't restock. You've got to be quiet after Nadav and Abihu died. Right? You just got to accept it. From me, this is what I want. Right, so that's what it's the first pasuk. Who can see, but it's also written over there. Hinini mechalele mikdashi. Behold, I'm going to destroy my, profane my temple. Go on, ez chem, machmad enechem. The pride of your strength, the desire of your eyes. So we see machmad enechem is used in both. The desire of your eyes is also used in the connection of the wife. And it's also used in the connection with the temple. And we see that when Hashem destroying the wife and destroying the temple, it's the same thing used. So we learn from here that the destruction of the temple is like losing the wife. Chas v'shalom. Yeah. Ah, you're right. Lukativ v'adaber al ha'am b'boker v'tamat ishti v'erev. And it's written there, I spoke to the people in the morning, and his wife died in the evening. Right? So we see there that's what happened. And then the next passage comes talking about the destruction of the temple. So, not a happy note to finish on, unfortunately, but that brings us to 10 o'clock. And he probably got, when he got remarried. Tov. Even though sometimes the first marriage is like the key one, but so too sometimes it's not right for us, right? We learn from that the first set of tablets were the ideal ones, but we saw it wasn't right. that got broken. We had a second set, and we lived by the second set. And that's what Hashem wanted us to do. Sometimes there's a second set, and the second set is actually the one that we live by.
When you have a connection to your wife,
you can
marry